AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
You are listening to Winning on Reparations, a production of iHeartRadio.
What da da day? The dope knife, smooth operator side day. Don't need a short term, I could do the long game. Got a whack rapper up into a simmer saute. I be acting blasé when I'm watching the news. Talking political shit that be stopping my views. What up, Dunn? Yeah, homie, I am talking to you. Too sexy for my shirt, so I walk in a nude. Quit the chitter chat, listen, I am not in the mood. Pot that I use, got me feeling lost, confused. Often I choose to just give you these revelations. What the fuck you doing? Y'all waiting on reparations. Hey! What is happening?
What's up, everybody?
I've been waiting a month to say this. I'm Dope Knife.
I'm Lingua Franca.
And we are waiting on reparations.
Hurry up.
Hey, what's going on?
Yo, what's good? I'm back from you know, much needed rest period. Having a baby's crazy. Baby's crazy shit. But, you know, kiddo's doing great. Sleeping good, except for last night. It's funny, like my first day back at work, he was like, oh, I'm gonna fuck up your life a little bit. You've been having it too easy, because it has actually been very chill, surprisingly. Yeah. And so, yeah, I was just about to ask you,
like, what is the first month of motherhood been like?
The first week is insane, because, like, you're just so shell-shocked from, like, pushing from, I mean, like, he was, like, 10 pounds, pushing, like, a 10-pound child, practically. You're getting used to he's crying in the nighttime, and it feels like you're at war. It's, like, traumatic, kind of. You wake up, like, wah, wah, kind of freaks you out. And just, like, emotionally, you're all over the place. And then after that, I kind of, like, settled into it. I was like, all right, we good. Yeah, getting into a rhythm. Getting over that imposter syndrome. Yeah. About, like, am I changing this diaper right? What's happening? It was pretty chill. And then, you know, just resting up, healing physically, and just settling into...
How's the mentals? Yeah. How's the mentals
going? The mental's good. Yeah, the mental is good. I was starting to go a little stir-crazy, honestly. People were like, you're kind of mad for maternity leave that soon? But I'm like... Man, a month was enough. I was just starting to get by. I was running out of stuff to watch on TV.
Yeah.
I ain't seen none of my friends. So, yeah. I'm glad to be back.
Seen anything new?
I'm just new to you, at least. I'm, like, mad. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm, like, mad just out of the loop with stuff that ever, like, beloved by all.
Yeah.
So I saw Watchmen, the HBO show, as well as the movie. We rewatched the movie Watchmen.
I love both of those.
Oh, so good. Yeah. Oh, so good. We should do an episode
on those. People hate on the Watchmen movie, though.
How? It's so good.
I don't know. I thought that shit was dope. Well, I am glad to have you back.
Yeah, I want to hear how you been, bro.
I've been good, Joe. I mean, as far as, like, all this, I've been, you know, just trying to hold it down in your absence and stuff like that. But, I mean, other than that, man, I've been... Doing the same old grind, you know what I mean? I got a new single that I'm getting ready, so I've been getting art and stuff for that. I've really decided to go in not only on my merch game, but ours. So I've been, you know, working with different artists, working on Waiting on Reparations logos and shirts and stickers and stuff like that. So we'll have a bunch of shit like that. I'm about to like straight up get into the t-shirt game and shit like that. But we're about to have some of that stuff for y'all soon. But I mean, shit, we've been waiting a month. Let's get into it. Let's get into the first official episode that the two of us have done in a while.
A minute.
Last week doesn't count. That was some stockpiled shit.
Yeah. But yo, this week we're going to be talking about Jair Bolsonaro, who in many ways is considered the Trump of the tropics, from his hateful rhetoric against women and gays, denial of COVID science, conservative economic and social agenda, down to recent concern that the right-wing leader, who is beloved by Brazilian military and police, might stage a coup and try to keep control of the government when presumably he gets ousted in the upcoming Brazilian presidential election. But how similar are Trump and Bolsonaro? Really, would one dig into the details? That is the topic of today's conversation, which we will get into right after the jump.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Okay, so we are back. So we're talking about Bolsonaro today, and I mean, this is in the midst of, you know, there's a couple of these Trump-ish sort of figures around the world, pretty much dudes who are running their countries like they're fucking organized crime empires, essentially. You know, obviously, we all know Putin, you know, homie in the Philippines. What's his name again?
Duterte.
You've got the guy in Belarus who...
Lukashenko?
Lukashenko. They pretty much staged the coup. Who else? You got Erdogan in Turkey. I do believe Poland has a Trump-ish figure. In any event, you've got a rash of these guys over the world, and Bolsonaro is just another one in that line of cats who are doing that thing. Okay, so let's get to this question a little more deeply. Who is Jair Bolsonaro? He was elected to the presidency in 2018 as a member of Brazil's Social Liberal Party after several decades as the Brazilian equivalent of what we might consider a congressman. Now, Bolsonaro had been a vocal opponent of same-sex marriage and homosexuality, abortion, affirmative action. He's an opponent of drug decriminalization. And in essence, the nigga hates fun.
And the environment.
Yeah. He apparently has beef with the environment. I don't know.
Yeah. Under his leadership, it's overseen a spike in deforestation in the Amazon. Last year, get this shit. The Amazon in Brazil lost an area 14 times the size of New York City.
Shit.
Which is the greatest decline the forest has seen in 12 years. So, just hates the environment, hates gays, hates women.
He's a cliche.
Blacks,
he's a cliche. He's a walking,
doesn't want
talking.
Anybody to do drugs. Walking, talking. Yeah, and yeah, I feel like, it's like a cartoon villain almost.
Yeah, it's like he's what. He's kind of what a lot of motherfuckers in America imagine that they're living with. You know what I'm saying? With Trump. Yeah. I would say he's worse, to be honest.
He's but, legit kind of scary. Like, he spoke in favor of torture and violent revolt against the democratically elected governments. He said in a 1999 interview, elections won't change anything in this country. It will only change on the day that we break out in civil war here and do the job that the military regime didn't do, killing 30,000 people. If some people die, innocent people die, that's fine. In every war, innocent people die.
So there you go. That is the
so there
current,
you go.
The current president of Brazil. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, like, as someone that, like, keeps tabs on various, like, strains of leftist thought, like, there are people that are totally over electoralism and, like, yo, we just gotta, like, have a revolution or some shit like that. But very rarely do you hear or you, like, have you find someone who has the guts to say that in a scenario like that, oh, if the people rise up and seize the government back, like, thousands of people will die. Like, hands down. And so, but, like, something that's weird to me about this quote is that he seems to, like, relish it. Like, he's, like, stoked that thousands of people, like, could die in a civil war in his country.
See, this is where, like, my nuance kind of starts to go out of the window when it comes to this sort of stuff. These cats, this is, like, baked into their shit. You know what I mean? Like, These cats are, in a way, like, fantasizing about the worst case scenario where they feel, oh man, now I got the green light to kill lots of people. So it's like all this like revolutionary talk and shit like that. To me, it's like one side is talking about revolution in think pieces and on like YouTube videos, and the other side is like literally hiding in the bushes, training with guns, imagining the day that they're gonna get to do some wild shit. You know,
they're gonna just kill people.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, oh, we're going to transform society and make it an egalitarian, like, paradise. And then the other side is like, oh, civil war is going to break out? Oh, we have a revolution? Oh, I get to just go gun people down in the streets. And they're, like, super stoked about that.
I heard about a case not too long ago. I mean, this is kind of taking it from Brazil, taking it back stateside. But just in a nutshell, there were some neighbors who were having a, you know, dispute. And one group of neighbors had a Biden sign. And the other neighbor was a Trump supporter, and he went into the house and gunned them down.
Oh, hell.
This happened like maybe like a week or two after the election, but I think just now starting to get into the trial phase and shit like that. But I mean, that's not like I don't think that's an isolated incident. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's indicative of like scattered, isolated incidents. Like the current right-wing ideology is one that's like implicitly violent. You know what I'm saying? So
what I find interesting about, like, comparing his rhetoric, sure, this is an old interview, almost, you know, 2 decades old, but comparing him to, like, Donald Trump, I feel like Donald Trump has, like, a, just, like, a cavalier sense of just, like, disregard for human life, where it's like, yo, if people die, people die. I can't think of an example where he was like, yeah, let's fucking go out and murder thousands of people in the streets. That'll be lit.
No, I mean, it's come out that he did want to give, like, have the army intervene during the Black Lives Matter protests last summer. Like, he really did want them to start shooting people in the street. I mean, I don't know if there's a specific,
perhaps,
let's
like,
kill 30,000, but, I mean, homie, the way I look at it is Donald Trump and, by that part, Republicans, they straight up smooth watched 600,000 people die. Smooth.
Yeah.
Like, didn't flinch. So I don't think it's beyond them to talk like that.
Yeah, we've been talking about it, but like, I guess like their willingness to say something like this out in the open, because like even if they had discussions about gunning down protesters during the uprising last summer, probably happening behind closed doors, out in public, they want to pretend like they didn't say shit like that. So is that like a differing level of bloodlust? Is that a differing level of political savvy where like maybe Trump and his handlers might know it's probably not a smart thing to say out in the public? I don't know. I'm not sure. But I feel like that is a place where these two diverge a little bit in like strategy or cravenness.
Yeah,
possibly.
I think conditions are also an important factor in differentiating the two. Is that Trump has a lot of potential to do what Bolsonaro has been able to do. You know what I mean? Like Brazil has been a fascist. Brazil was fascist in the 80s already. You know what I mean? So it's like what he's trying to make it be, they've been that before. So that door is kind of open there to begin with. And then just he has more enablers. You know, the institutions, not every country has the institutions that are sturdy enough, as America's proved to be the last 4 years and shit like that. So when you have somebody who's poking and prodding, if the shit's not sturdy enough, he's more successful at doing things like changing laws and changing constitutions and doing those things to keep himself in power. So he's just he's enabled a lot more than Trump is, too.
Yeah. We've talked about a bunch of people, like mass death. Speaking of which, Brazil has very consistently ranked second in the world for COVID-19 deaths over the course of this pandemic. Another thing that the leadership of our presidents have held in common. Bolsonaro, from the start, has belittled the pandemic, and earlier this year had several videos removed from YouTube for spreading misinformation about the coronavirus, which has its parallels, in a certain sense, to Trump getting flagged on Twitter for like talking shit about like hydroxychloroquine or whatever, that ain't real. In July of 2020, one day after announcing that he had tested positive for COVID-19, Bolsonaro came under fire for allegedly using homophobic language to mock the use of face masks, namely saying that masks were for fairies. Okay, anyway. He later posted a tweet, including a picture in which he appears to be smiling and giving a thumbs up while brandishing a box of hydroxychloroquine pills. So, like, I know some like left-wing people who are like very anti-authoritarian and are skeptical of like vaccines and the science behind coronavirus, stuff like that. But it's so interesting to me that like there's these parallels where like in addition to being, you know, like I just don't understand why it seems like a cross-cultural occurrence that right-wing figures tend to believe coronavirus misinformation. Like, why is that? I don't get it.
Currently, I think it's part of their like contrarian streak where, you know, anything that the left of the country is for, then they're automatically opposed to it. You know what I mean?
You think like, that's what it is? Like the left comes out like, oh, we believe in science. And these motherfuckers are like, yo, we don't. Ha!
I honestly think that's really what it is. I mean, and it's played out that way too. When the vaccine was first being developed, and Democrats or whoever were like, rightfully so, in my opinion, were like, hey, I trust science. I trust the doctors. I don't trust Trump. So I don't know about the vaccine. It was completely switched. You know what I mean? Like, people were like, man, I don't know if I want to take some MAGA vaccine. And
no,
Trumpers
exactly,
and MAGA
yeah.
were 100% in on vaccines. I mean,
the
this
Trump
was just...
The Trump vaccine. Talking about, you know, like, so proud
This was as recently as, like, last, you know what I mean? Like last March, this is going on. Like this wasn't like ancient history or anything. So I really think that a lot of it is rooted in that contrarian streak, just as far as like right-leaning people are concerned, where it's like, hey man, I don't trust Joe Biden and I don't trust these crazy liberals and, you know, they're all for the vaccine and PC woke. I think it's all wrapped up into that shit.
I have pondered whether it's a couple of other things as well, and it's probably a mixture of all of this, you know, together. On the one hand, there's just like, yeah, this libertarian streak of just like, I don't really care, I can do whatever I want. So like, you know, like I don't care about the science, I don't care about any of this stuff because I just want to be free. Like, you know, the government shouldn't, you know, that don't tread on me bullshit. Like a little bit of that mixed with this like, oh, the economy is more important than anything. Like, oh, like, you know, business and, you know, the stock market, like we got to keep the numbers going up on the ticker, even though no one fucking knows what that is. At least from a governmental perspective, I feel like that's driven a lot of Trump's people, you know, like trying to protect his corporate you know, homies by like making sure the economy marches forward, I imagine. And, you know, and Bolsonaro has made similar comments, I think, even at the UN summit last week, talking about how, COVID restrictions cripple economy. It's like this focus on, the economy is more important than human life as well. So all that together, I guess, it just forms.
But I mean, we know that that's what's supply. Like, that's what like right wing politicians' motivations are. But it's like, it's more interesting, like the people that are like on the ground, you know what I mean? Like the regular people in terms of like what their motivation is. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I mean, as a commissioner, like as we've imposed COVID restrictions here to help, you know, in the interest of public health, we've gotten emails from like business owners that are like, "Oh, you're killing me! Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Da 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 da. Or just concerned people, just like, you know, just constituents who have no stake, who are totally fine, middle class, like, you know, pension, you know, paid off their mortgage already, who are like, "Oh." Like, you know, all the unemployment is encouraging people not to go to work. And then, the crippling the economy. Because even the average, there's like average citizens who don't have any personal interest in like the stock market or like, you know, the economy at large. Yeah. But like have this ideology of like, the economy is important. The economy matters. They absorb this rhetoric and they spew it back out. Even though it's like, I don't want you like... Homie who's writing to me this email about, like, the mask mandate, I don't want you to die either. Yeah. I don't think you want to die either. I don't think you want to die for the economy, honestly.
There's something cultural in it, I feel. Because, I mean, like in fucking World War II and shit, they rationed meat. You know what I'm saying? They were like motherfucker, they rationed steel. Like, you couldn't drive as long as you wanted to or as far as you wanted to because they were rationing gas and shit. Like... I just don't see people making that personal sacrifice after this COVID shit. Because it just seems like everybody is like, not everybody, but I just mean there's a huge component of the vaccine denial that is rooted in, well, I'm straight. I'm going to be fine. I'm all right.
There's like a new precedent for not as individualism, but anti-collectivism.
Yeah,
like exactly. People who are specifically opposed to like working together to like for the benefit of public health and public and
now,
public
now see,
interest.
Somebody who has that mindset and that agenda, right? You very easily can rope left-leaning people into that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think so. Because I mean, if it's not even presented that way. And you're just more so presenting these ideas that, you know, like you said, are kind of adjacent to the grand scheme of collective organizing and community and stuff like that. If you start chipping away at that sort of thing, then you have people who otherwise would be cool fucking retweeting Tucker Carlson and shit.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I agree with them on the vaccine.
Looking at you, Glenn Greenwald. That's a topic for another day. Anyway.
Nicki Minaj.
What are you doing? We got to do a whole episode on that.
We do. Like somebody checked her on like, you know he's a white nationalist. And she just like went off on a defense of it. I'm like.
And people were like, go off, queen. I'm like, what are you? No, do not encourage this. Oh, man.
All right, let's get back to Bolsonaro.
But so public opinion of Bolsonaro, which had been favorable during his first year in office, turned negative throughout most of 2020, you know, with his chaotic handling of the coronavirus pandemic and everything, briefly became positive again after he authorized emergency payments akin to our stimulus checks here. Before turning negative once more in 2021. So, you know, you got the Brazilian economy in the tank, 595,000 dead and almost 600,000 people dead in Brazil.
And they have a population of 211 million. So they've got like damn near 100 million less people than us, but had the same amount of people dead.
Oh, damn. That is actually crazy. I didn't think about that. That's nuts,
Yeah, it is. Yeah, did a terrible job.
A lot of the countries, political and economic elite, have just turned against him. I mean, and like even for average everyday people, the public living standards are getting squeezed because food and fuel costs are ticking upwards amid high unemployment. So this, recipe, all these ingredients come together to give you shitty poll numbers for our boy Bolsonaro. It's looking like voters are likely to pick left-wing former president Lula da Silva over Bolsonaro in the coming election if pollsters are correct.
but there's definitely signs that Bolsonaro is not going to go without a fight. So earlier this month, Bolsonaro called his supporters to the streets in preparation for what he called a necessary counter coup against Congress and the Brazilian Supreme Court. He directed a huge militia. He directed a huge military parade through the capital of Brasilia, in part to flex his close ties with the military leaders, many of whom he appointed to cabinet posts following his election. Bolsonaro also enjoys a high level of support among the nation's police force. Sounds like Trump as well. Mm-hmm. Leading some to wonder if in the event of an attempted coup, the military and cops might turn against the public to keep the president in power. I mean, I don't even know if that's in question. I think that's is going to happen. I think we're lucky that shit didn't happen here, to be honest with you. So
yeah. And we'll get to that a little bit in a second. Some analysis of January 6th to sort of put it in contrast to what happened earlier this month in Brazil. But yo, Bolsonaro's out here. He was making direct threats to the Supreme Court Chief Justice Luiz Fux. Even said that the only options for himself, Bolsonaro, were to be arrested, killed, or to win in the elections. And given that winning seems unlikely, according to recent polls, and the fact he went on to say that he would never be arrested, he's insinuating that he will only leave office if killed.
He's undermined the public's faith in the security of the upcoming elections, saying, "No person is going to tell us this voting process is safe and reliable because it isn't."
So, I mean, all of this probably sounds scary as shit, but the good news is that these pro-Bolsonaro protests across Brazil turned out to be a lot smaller than supporters anticipated. According to local police, only about 125,000 people took part in the Sao Paulo demonstrations. Like, that's still a lot, but they expected about 2 million. There were other smaller demonstrations across the country, but no violence broke out. So
it's kind of happened with the part two of the January 6th thing that they tried to do last week.
And so in the early lead up to early September's demonstrations, international media was discussing the event as a potential repeat of January 6th. But according to Alex Hochuli, who actually is interested in coming on the show next week to discuss this in a little more detail, looking at the two events side by side, he said that January 6th was never a real threat to democracy in the United States, but Bolsonaro could be. The FBI found no evidence of a centrally planned plot on January 6th, and there are no plans to charge those involved with seditious conspiracy. Trumpists didn't kill anyone. The only violent death was a policeman shooting a pro-Trump, protester. It wasn't a coup, nor even really a respectable coup attempt, even as scary as it was to us in the moment on that day. Instead, the whole administration came together, for the most part, to uphold the election results. And there wasn't a risk of a military coup because Trump didn't have the same backing of the military in the United States as Bolsonaro enjoys in Brazil. In Brazil, the situation is far more precarious. Since Bolsonaro took office, 6,000 military personnel have come to occupy positions in the federal government, with top brass strongly represented in the presidential cabinet. The risk of military and police forces lining up to launch a coup with or in place of Bolsonaro is worth seriously pondering, especially since a military coup in Brazil is a precedented event. In 1964, members of the Brazilian Armed Forces, supported by the United States government, once again fucking with people in Latin America, overthrew President João Goulart. The coup brought to Brazil a military dictatorship, politically aligned with the interests of, guess who, the United States government, and which lasted for 21 years until 1985. So this is something, the government has overthrown democratically elected presidents in Brazil previously, in addition to, all over Latin America. And so he starts a little more serious in here because, it's easy to imagine because this shit's happened before.
This is the thing that I disagree with him on, and hopefully we can talk about this when he comes on the show, is the notion that that specific event in and of itself was a threat to democracy, and that was the coup attempt. Oh man, we were on the verge that day. Anyone who's saying that, that's like hyperbole. It's exaggeration. It's television. It's like, you know, this is like cable news entertainment television at this point. Like, it's to gin up the shit. But in a way, for like, from somebody like me, you know what I mean? It kind of, it feels like a straw man, because it's not, that's not the issue. It's what it's indicative of. Like, it might not be the coup attempt that put us on the verge, but it was damn sure a test run. You know what I'm saying? And it's the next time that it happens, I think that time possibly could be the one that's like, oh man, we're on the verge with this one. I mean, consider this, right? You remember when everybody was talking about let's storm Area 51?
Oh yeah.
You remember when that was going on? And like, it never really like materialized. Who knows why it never really materialized? But I would guess that one of the things in the back of everybody's head is, man, when you're at the point that there's a mass group of people that are storming Area 51, they're just gonna start shooting.
Period.
I not knowing everything about, you know, like, I don't know the ins and outs of all this stuff and how it works, but just me growing up, you know, I'm American, but growing up overseas and just like the pop cultural idea of how, what I have of how the government works, a bunch of people start storming the Capitol buildings, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's right wingers or whatever, if a bunch of people start storming the center of American power, I would imagine that the cops would just start letting bullets fly.
Well, that's the thing. So that's the thing about the situation that I think is interesting and kind of scary, is that, sure, like, okay, the demonstrations, Bolsonaro was like, all right, come out to the streets, yeah. And they had less people than anticipated. But if 125,000 people in Sao Paulo all had guns, started storming the Capitol buildings, and the police, even if the police didn't join their side, if the police stood by and did nothing, which is a little bit of what we saw on January 6th, police were like, you know, taking selfies, da da da. If they just like, you know, kind of turned a blind eye, some motherfuckers could do some serious damage.
Yo,
like, it might not be as many people as you thought, but it's enough to fuck some shit up.
Countries can get destabilized with like 5,000 organized people doing,
I know,
some,
yeah,
shit. Like, let alone 100 and something.
If all 6,000 people who are in the military who have been appointed into the government by Bolsonaro, like, you know, just did little things, like gave somebody their key card to get in the elevator to go up to where the Supreme Court justice, you know, his office is, and like little things like that, that could be enough to rock the whole shit.
The thing that talking about Bolsonaro makes me think of, it's like, it just makes me think of the whole concept of, you know, it could happen here type of shit, where it's just like, if this starts happening, stuff like this starts happening tomorrow, it's just like, what are people really going to do? What is the real actual reaction going to be? Like, if in your town, some yahoos just take over the state building and the cops don't touch them.
Straight up.
And they're like, we're in charge. I mean, most people are going to tweet about it. You know what I mean? You're going to make your post like, oh, this is fucked up. Ah! And then everybody's going to go to work. This is what, that's what I'm afraid of. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm busy right now.
No, straight up. So, yeah, January 6th, 2021. Like, that was the day I was to be sworn in as commissioner again. Mm. And so I'm seeing scenes of the Capitol getting stormed on, like, CNN. I'm like, yo, is it safe to be, like, around government buildings right now? And my colleagues were like, oh, come on, it's fine. You know, because they've never had, like, lynching threats or, like, someone threatened to burn their house down or anything. And so they're like, you know, oh, the police will be there. You know, they'll be stationed on the rooftops. I'm like, I don't like the idea of them being stationed on the rooftops with, like, you know, sniper scope, like, pointed at the City Hall building either. I don't like that either. You know, that made me feel any better.
You know what you just reminded me of?
What's up?
It's something that I talked about literally on the first episode that you weren't around.
Yeah.
But you know who was going in and out of Brazil having meetings with Bolsonaro, right?
The CIA.
Steve Bannon.
Oh my God, and the CIA, like, and Steve Bannon. Bannon.
I'm talking
but
about,
yes,
recently,
really
like
bad
this.
News.
Yeah.
Yes,
like recently, like as a matter of fact, like Steve. It's suspected that Steve Bannon and them are like behind trying to organize this whole everybody get out in the streets for Bolsonaro thing. They were literally trying to recreate the January 6th thing down there. So we're in a lot of trouble, y'all. We're in a lot of trouble, y'all. I mean, I guess the consensus is Bolsonaro's probably worse than Trump, but not only is it not by a lot, but it's purely a matter of circumstance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Some, in some ways worse. Actually, I think, I honestly think in every way worse. This dude seems like a lot worse. To call him the Really, Trump is the Bolsonaro of North America. Well,
another key difference is I feel like Bolsonaro believes in something. And you're gonna kind of get a sense of this when we
That's
get
true.
To the music
Trump
discussion.
Trump just wants power, yeah.
Yeah, Trump is like a money and power dude. Like, it's like literally, like, Trump could be a rapper. Yeah. Straight up, like, that's his concerns, is money and power. That's it.
So let's turn to talk a little bit about the rappers in the Brazilian rappers that fuck with Bolsonaro, which are there are many.
And we got a couple that don't. But we'll be back with that after the jump.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
All right, we are
back. Some of
this
shit is fucking crazy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no.
I'm so stoked for this music discussion today because this shit is just wild to me. Some of these rappers, man.
Now, we are a politics hip-hop show, so you know we always got to bring it back to the hip-hop angle of things. And to do that, we're going to be diving into some of the hip-hop that's going on in Brazil currently amidst all of this Bolsonaro right-wing coup fears and blah, 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 blah. Now, where this is going to kind of take a turn is there is a whole lot of self-described right-wing rappers in Brazil. It's not dominating the scene. It's not the majority. It's not like what Brazilian hip-hop is like. But it's enough of a niche market that Bolsonaro has found use in it as propaganda.
Yeah, they got recordings that feature samples from the president's speeches, lyrics that exalt the dictatorship and torturers like Carlos Alberto Brillante Ustra, and shout outs to people the dude that sort of like was Bolsonaro's guru, Olavo de Carvalho. So they really incorporate, like, they get into very specific details about why they support
in the
Bolsonaro.
Ideology and shit.
And but historical figures of the right wing in Brazil as well.
So let's check out this first cat. How do you say this? Luiz
Visitanchi. The song is called My Son Will Be a Bolsonarista.
And a Bolsonarista, I'm assuming, is kind of like a name for a Bolsonaro supporter, like a colloquialism.
Yeah.
All right, let's check this out.
Vai ser de direita, mini anticomunista. Vai aprender de pequeno a ser capitalista. Vai.
The hook goes, when my son is born, he will follow his father's footsteps. His first words will be pietismo, which is like PT is like the Workers' Party, which is like the left wing in Brazil. So PT will be no more. And then in the opening lines of the first verse, this is crazy to me. My son will be right wing, a mini anti-communist. He's going to learn when he's young to be a capitalist. He'll dress up like Ustra, who was a torturer under the military dictatorship, and be a fan of Bolsonaro. When he's at school with his friends, he'll be an oppressive motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any more.
It's just straight up, he'll oppress people. He'll dress up like a torturer. I think comparing like the PT, which to my understanding is like a liberal party in Brazil,
but not communist
by any means. And so you also see this trend of like anything that's even remotely left wing is communism. You know, that rhetoric being spewed also by the right in Brazil as well as in America.
You can just lump in anything that like fringy guys don't like. You can just lump everything into that for them to just label it as left wing. Oh, you don't like gays. You don't like feminism. No, you don't like black people. You don't like the environment, or not even you don't like the environment. You're too lazy to do anything to help out the environment. All right. Let's just lump that all. That's all left wing. And we hate that. We're against it. Every aspect of it.
So he goes on to say, I think this is really interesting. So he goes on to say he's going to tell his friends that he's the far right. He's gonna tell them that in reality, Nazism, the left wing are the Nazis, effectively. And he's going to treat everyone equal, independent of race. So it's like, oh, I'm extremely right wing. I treat everyone the same no matter what color you are. The Nazis are the left-wing people. Like, it just seems so, like...
And didn't the last...
I guess this has these inherent contradictions.
Didn't he just say his son's gonna be an oppressive motherfucker?
Exactly. It's like, bruh, same song. Like, literally 30 seconds ago, I heard you say you're gonna be, like, putting your boots on people's neck like you're Ustra or whatever this guy's name is.
All right, we got the other guy. He is a rapper, Papa Mike, from Belo... Horizonte?
Belo Horizonte. Yeah.
Belo Horizonte. So he's another diehard Bolsonarista.
Bolsonarista.
With songs such as A Letter to Bolsonaro. Let's check that out. Okay, songs like that, they deride the president's opponents as cokeheads and stoners and warns of communist indoctrination in the school system and media.
So in the music video, it's got like hammers and sickles flying around, like, oh, you better watch out, like in the background. They call out, there's like a picture of like Karl Marx for a second and like warning that, oh, it's coming for your kids and shit like that. Which all seems kind of silly. But then there's another right-wing rapper. He's an evangelical, his name's Alves. And he sort of like breaks it down in a way that like it's similar to arguments I've heard by like Trump people, like not really, but I guess like not Trump people per se, but like conservatives that I know that like cast out on left wing people in the United States. So pretty much he doesn't identify as a Bolsonarista, but like he is very conservative, and he said that the left is a Vila Madalena, which is sort of like, you know, the champagne socialists of Brooklyn. Don't get this. They've never seen a body splayed out on the ground. If they've never seen a coffin, it's because their dog... If they've ever seen a coffin, it's because their dog died or their granddad died of old age. So pretty much saying that, like, you know, he personally is right-wing because he grew up so tough that the only left-wing people that, like, he sees in the media or whatever are, like, you know, more well-to-do folks that haven't actually undergone oppression. Mm-hmm. And so you see... I feel like you hear in the United States as well a lot of... people that are strong supporters of capitalism, strong supporters of like a more conservative economic agenda, because they picture the left as just like very privileged, well-to-do folks that have no idea what reality is really like.
Well, I mean, you know, like I understand it in the sense of the information is in my ear, and I understand the logic that they're using in drawing those conclusions. But it's like at the end of the day, it's like, man. I grew up rough, so I hate gay people. It's not anything that I'm trying to entertain. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, fuck that guy.
Who's that guy earlier this month that's a little boozy? Or that, who's that fucking guy?
This is DaBaby?
DaBaby. Oh yeah. My God. Yeah. Time flies. I totally forgot about the whole thing. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. I just like grew up rough. I didn't understand that I wasn't supposed to like fucking hate gays. Like, bruh.
Well, here's the thing that interested in asking you about, because talking about this, it's like, maybe, you know, tell me if I'm like just being too dismissive, but I feel like this Brazilian right wing stuff, it definitely has like a personal figure attached to it, because in a lot of cases they're actually talking about Bolsonaro and stuff like that. But if you strip it away and it's just them rapping about having these like right wing, ultra capitalistic, you know what I mean, ideology, is it really that far removed from what's going on here?
Going on here?
In a lot of ways.
I mean, I guess it's just more explicitly like ideologically aligned.
That's what I mean. It's like ideologically aligned. Like,
yeah, in that Papa Mike song, he's like, yo, like, you know, Bolsonaro's out in the streets with a rifle or whatever, like, mm-hmm. praising that he's, you know, flexing his right to bear arms. And he brings it back to, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was all of this, is like brings it back to like, oh, the right to bear arms specifically, like tying it back to like a thing that's enshrined in law, you know, through the Constitution, etc. But like in regular, quote unquote, regular rap music in the United States, probably in Brazil as well, people talk about the flex about having guns all the time, mm-hmm. without making it explicitly political, even though ultimately it is. I mean, that's what the show is about, revealing how all these things are like, you know, secretly ideological. And so, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying a little bit.
I mean, getting into when we were talking about the COVID vaccine and, like, that cultural shift of, like, things being self-centered and it's about me and that lack of community, you know what I'm saying, or community concern and stuff like that. I mean, that's the sort of thing where it's like, when I listen to hip-hop, it's like I try to strip it of the context and just focus on what the music and the words themselves are accomplishing. And it's like, yeah, in a lot of cases, I mean, you know, obviously there's exceptions to every rule and shit like that, but, you know, there's a lot of cases where you're just hearing stuff drone and drone and drone, and it's like, for a cat like me, it's like, man, is this brought to you by the Koch brothers? Like, what the fuck am I listening to? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like really, what am I listening about? It's like a PragerU, like, rant with a beat to it.
Nah, you know,
about the virtues of capitalism in, like, you know, yeah. I don't know.
You're right, though. What else we got? What else do we got?
Okay, so now we're going to switch over to some of the cats who are anti-Bolsonaro. So let's check out the first homie, Black Alien, with his track...
Hamaisarão.
Sorry? What?
So, the title of the song is Hamaisarão.
Oh, yeah. Hamaisarão. Okay.
Yeah. Which means never, will never will be.
Never will be. Let's check this out real quick.
Lunar no ar, espetacular novato. A minha mente cria meu inferno e melodia. Minhas crias, meu caderno, beat quente noite.
Yeah, so the hook for that one is what he's saying is, what I really think is that presidents are temporary, baby. Good music is forever, and these losers never will be. And this is him talking about the right wing and Bolsonaro and them. In an interview, he said, I can't waste the valuable instrument that is rap and not talk to the people, to young people mainly. Here in Brazil, an obnoxiously stupid country that doesn't educate people.
Tell them, Ribeiro, goddamn.
Half the people voted for this deadbeat out of ignorance.
Damn. Ice cold.
Sometimes you gotta tell it. As rap steps up the ladder into the mainstream of Brazilian music, Fight the Power songs have been sharing more space on the radio and are streaming airwaves instead of music about love and sex. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
At least everyone's like, or at least for the most part, a lot of them are not just, you know, because whether you're going to be right wing in your art or left wing in your art or down the middle or whatever, I can't stand the agnostic approach to shit. Like,
I'm just not into politics.
Yeah, I'm ignoring the world. I don't, you know, none of that shit happen. Like, I was watching reading something where, like, the dudes from Metallica were talking about, yeah, man, we're not political. We're just trying to have fun. I'm like, yo, what?
Nigga, what?
What are y'all? What?
Y'all,
Dollar bills, man. People
switch dollar bills. I love that shit, which is inherently ideological. If you're just like, oh, we're just trying to have fun, we're trying to like make stack paper or like whatever, like, you don't think that's informed by ideology to a certain extent, bro? Sure. Yeah.
But and the last one.
Oh, sorry, go for it.
Oh, no, you can go ahead.
Okay, cool. So last one is by Setor Prohibido. It's a song called Primavera Fascista, or Fascist Spring.
Teoria que eu sou não faz parte dos maus. Tenho a de ver o filho do pedreiro se formar porque seu pai pagou 10 anos de facul particular.
And the song is in the tradition of Brazil's rap nacional, which has traditionally stood out as the cultural voice of the favelas and the peripheries throughout Brazil. The favelas in Brazil are sort of like the hood, like the, you know, the inner city slums and stuff like that. Bolsonaro's unprecedented statements against Black Brazilians, his hatred of the poor, the LGBT community, and leftists of all stripes have sort of forged a unity among these people, which is reflected in songs like Primavera Fascista here, in which Setor Proibido, or is that who does the song? Hold on a second. Let me make sure. It says it's produced by that person. I wonder if that was the rapper on it.
It's a channel. It's like, I think it's like a YouTube channel or like a SoundCloud channel,
okay,
or something like that.
So the rapper here talks about idolizing a fascist, supporting torture, and the people manipulated want to put you in power. I'm the civil war. I'm not afraid of your dictatorship. And if someone has to die, let it be you. Oh, shit. Ooh, some fucking fire. Shit.
Yeah.
Your homophobia doesn't make you more of a man. Tell him, son. Your heterosexuality is fragile. Your ignorance contaminates. The sickness is in massacres. Fascism is a spreading virus. Information is the cure. And rap is the vaccine.
That nigga's spitting.
Wow. There's so many levels to it. Calling him out for his co-misinformation through this analogy about fascism spreading the virus. Information is the cure. Rap is the vaccine. That's so ill. Oh my God.
I mean, considering that this song is from 2018, He didn't even know. He didn't even know.
Wow, this is fucking prophetic. This nigga saw it to the future, bro.
That's what we call off the dome, ladies and gentlemen.
That's nasty. Big up. I'm a little scared of this cat. How you know, in advance.
So that is what we got for the music discussion and for the episode today, as it were. So it's so good to have you back, yo.
It's good to be back. We got lots of great things coming up.
Excited to dive into some of these topics?
Excited to dive into some of these topics. Apparently, there are some anti-Bolsonaro protests coming up this weekend. And so, Alex Hochuli, who is a writer, researcher, and translator based in, I think, Sao Paulo, is interested in coming on next week to just talk about the, you know, sort of like a little more on this topic, a little more in-depth from his perspective on the ground in Brazil. So touch on that. And lots of other good stuff in the weeks to come. So thanks for tuning in. Good to be back. I missed y'all.
Well, you know, we can't just let you get away that easy since I held it down at the opening. Hey, Joel, let's put her through the ringer. Let's get a beat.
Oh, no.
Let's hear some lingua franca bars.
Let's get it. Let's go.
Exclusive.
January, almost a year of being hunkered down and aching in my abdomen, perpetually tucked out and agonizing, leaving me kneeling on the crust of tile. A harsh bit of finding out now that I fucked around, although I found it out before. Already knew what was the fuss about, but what about the fuss? I wondered if, I wondered how, I might allow the possibility that I could be a mother now that I've become functional enough to try to run the town. But still, it struck me as a clusterfucker, so I shut it down. That is until I saw the ultrasound, the little paw, the thump pronounced, the little heart be thumping. Wow, was all I said. My jaw practically struck the ground as I suddenly really loved the job. Shout out to baby ASAP, born August 26, 2021. It's good to be back.
Hey, I'm Dope Knife.
I'm Lingua Franca.
And we are waiting on reparations.
Hurry up.
See y'all next week.
Waiting on Reparations is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.